While they are going, if you would turn in your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the first several chapters of the Gospel of Luke for our Advent series this year, which begins today and continues over the next several Sundays until Christmas Eve. This is the first story, the first part of Luke's narrative of the life of Christ and how he appeared on the earth, what events were taking place. So if I could ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is his word for you this morning from Luke 1, 5 through 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there's a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abiha. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." As far as the reading of God's holy and inerrant word, let's ask his blessing on it. Oh God, we thank you for this episode, this short story revealing even just a little bit of the glory to come. In small ways, more and more we see Christ and the wonder of our Messiah. Oh God, teach us by your word today. Teach us by this passage how great a God that we have. How wondrous is your compassion towards us. How glorious is your coming to rescue and redeem your people. Reveal us, all of this to us today. Teach us by your Spirit so that we might walk in newness of life, being united to Christ, living in him. I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we are going to be going through the first couple chapters in Luke for our Advent series, and I've titled this series, Awaiting Consolation. Because in all of these stories, all of the first several vignettes, we see people waiting. We see people who have been waiting for a long time. And not just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, who have been waiting their entire lives for the hope of a son. But really, in their lives is echoed the broader picture of God's people waiting for centuries, waiting for God to act. And we're waiting for this consolation, this coming of the Messiah, waiting for the hope of the Savior, this comfort, the consolation of his people, as he's called in Luke 2. Christ is coming. And as we prepare our hearts this Advent series, we too wait our Savior. Though we see now, looking back on what Christ has done, the fullness and the completion of redemption, we still look forward to that day when he will call us home. So our narrative this morning, this text gives us a picture of this, gives us an understanding of what God is doing while we wait. In our darkness and our doubts, God is driving his divine mercy, overcoming our fear with his promise, overcoming our helplessness with his power, and overcoming our unbelief with the hope of this coming Messiah. We'll see this morning in 3 points. First, the darkness that we suffer. Second, the deliverance only God provides. And third, the declaration of hope. So, let's dive in to Luke. Luke has a lot to tell us. He's enthusiastic about this. I didn't read this as we dove into the passage, but Luke is writing these things so that we might believe, so that we might have confidence in Christ. We might know who he is and be assured of all that has happened, and so that we can live our lives in this confidence. Because we do live in a dark world. We do live in a darkness that causes us to suffer, both from without and within. The night is long. We've been waiting for the morning light. And even those who walked in holiness and have been upright, even they are cast down with sorrow because of the brokenness of the world. We see this in the introduction of these two holy people. Zechariah and Elizabeth, both descendants from this holy line, the Aaronic line of priests. They are set apart. They are living their lives in holiness, doing all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. You see this hope that they have, right? They're living their lives like us, those who've been called out of the darkness to live according to God's life. And yet, even as we're introduced to them, even as they're described as holy and living blamelessly before God, even there we see darkness. Verse 7, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Doesn't that just hit you like a ton of bricks? walking blamelessly with God doesn't negate the effects of a broken world. We all feel this deeply. You know, thinking back over this year, over all that we've experienced this past year, we've experienced many good things, many blessings, things that we rejoice in. And yet all of us have experienced the darkness of the night. All of us have experienced that sorrow that Zechariah and Elizabeth have experienced. Many of us have lived in these things for years, living with sorrows that won't go away, that won't be easily healed or taken away. We feel this. We know this. We have experienced this darkness. And we need God. We all are waiting for that consolation of God, the hope that God would send, that this someday He would send the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, who would come as the perfect one, the one who could bring hope for God's people, the one who could be the second Adam, who in Him we could find rest, forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. It's what Zechariah and Elizabeth were hoping for, what they were resting upon, what they were looking forward to. They lived their lives righteously before God because they lived trusting Him. They lived in faith. We need God. The hope of the coming of Christ is that God knows that we need Him and He is working to conquer our sin and to heal our brokenness. It reminds me of the Christmas carol, O Come, or O Little Town of Bethlehem. In the first verse, it says, "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." What does that mean? The hopes and fears of all the years are met there in Bethlehem, the night when Christ was born. He knows our hopes and fears, the things we've longed for but have never known. He meets us in the night, in the darkness. He meets with us in the desperation of our lonely night so that He can provide us with deliverance. Deliverance that only He can offer. So in the darkness of the night, we see our second point, the deliverance that only God provides. We see this in our story through this man, Zechariah, this priest of God, in his ordinary service of God, in his ordinary going about his life, in the darkness, in the sorrow, he continued to live his life, trusting in God, serving as a priest, serving in that holy office to enter in on behalf of God's people. That tying back to the sacrifice, trusting that God would redeem His people and bring salvation. So Zechariah goes in, he is chosen to go in before God. He was chosen to appear before God, not by coincidence, but by the appointment of God. God is working all things in His plan of redemption to bring us hope. Zechariah walked with God, he feared God, and yet in his struggle, God came to him. We see this as the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah. Zechariah was troubled, verse 12. He was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." I love that, how when God comes to his people, when he comes to bring comfort, when he comes to bring the message of redemption, he comes saying, "Be comforted. Do not be afraid." It's a bold statement. So that statement has promise behind it. Right? If we're not to be afraid, then there has to be a reason why we can't be afraid. Gabriel gives us that answer in the way that he talks and gives Zechariah this promise. He says, "Your wife will bear a son, you will call his name John, and you will have great joy and gladness." Here's the first part of God's answer, this hope that we have. He sees our need, just like he sees the need of Elizabeth and Zechariah. He sees their sorrow, and he's coming in a big way to answer it. As God's people called from generation to generation out of their sorrow, here, finally, we begin to hear the answer. The call in return. The first rays of the morning light that God has promised all the way back in Isaiah 61, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." God is answering his people with good news to bring favor, the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. What God promised there in Isaiah 61, he is now revealing in a tangible way, in a physical way, through his servant Zechariah. And through his servant Elizabeth. For in verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. See, the promise that God brought through Zechariah and Elizabeth, through this son who was John, was that this son would be the Elijah to Jesus. He would be the one proclaiming, "The Lord is coming, preparing in the wilderness a way of the Lord." This is what we've been waiting for. This is the answer to all of our questions, to all of the sorrow that we bear in the middle of the dark night. Why does this matter? Because God is returning finally to his people. He's returning his people to him. And it begins here with John. Elijah was prophesied to be the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. One who would come in the spirit of Elijah. And this John was this one who would prepare the way. Even Jesus, as he starts his ministry, goes to John, honoring John, showing that John was the one appointed to make the way in the wilderness, to prepare God's people, and even bringing many of them back to their father. So we see that only Christ can bring this hope. Only Christ can bring this deliverance. Because only Christ is the one who could answer all of our sorrows. He's the only one who could bring all of those promises in Isaiah 61 and make them real. John was the revelation, the forebearer of Christ. He is the morning rays of the sun rising upon his people. And that leads us to our third point this morning, this declaration of hope. And even here, in Zechariah being promised this, I think we realize and we recognize our likeness to Zechariah. Because like Zechariah, we don't always fully believe. Our faith is often weak. Just like Zechariah's is. As he is face to face with Gabriel, and yet he still says, "How can I know that these things are true?" He's wrestling with what appears the limitations that we face every day. His own age, inability to bear a child. And yet the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, says, "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." See, again, God brings comfort to those who are in sorrow. Even in our unbelief, God brings compassion. And I think the way that God does this to Zechariah is a very beautiful way. Because as Gabriel says, "I am bringing you the word of the Lord. This is the sign that you know that these things are sure, that you will be unable to speak." It's interesting that as Zechariah hears the word of God, he is caused to be silent. God, as our Creator, comes to us, breaks into our world, and it radically changes our lives. You see this contrast here between Zechariah's lack of speech and the praise that we see with Elizabeth. With this sign, Zechariah sees the power of God in his own life, and he begins to understand, and yet he is speechless. His speechlessness leads Elizabeth to praise, and his unbelief leads to belief when they see that the word of God is sure. We see Elizabeth's responses as Zechariah goes home. Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. This was an odd thing, right? This was a miraculous thing. How could she describe what was going on? How could she proclaim the goodness of God in a way that others could understand? And yet she understood. She understood what God was doing. What we see is that in her belief, arising out of the sign that God has given, worship and praise arise. She speaks the first exaltation here in Luke, one of many. This proclaiming, this worship, this glorying in God's providence. This was important because she recognized what was going on, that her reproach was being undone, that her shame was being made into a blessing. She believed in God and confessed that He was fulfilling the hope that she had been waiting for. Verse 25, she says, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days in which He looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." Elizabeth understood what God was doing. He was taking away her reproach, her sorrow. We find ourselves today in the same world. We live in a dark world full of disappointment, disbelief, longing for light, yet unsure if it will ever come. But God comes to those who can no longer speak, who can no longer hope, and He fills their silence with praise. He fills their hearts with faith. Christian, God has come to you. In this time of Advent, God has come to you to meet you where you are, to fill your silence with praise, to fill your empty heart with faith and hope. And if you this morning have not put your trust in Christ, if you still have not known Christ as your Savior, He speaks to you and calls to you. This is the hope in a dark world. This is the light that shines forth where no other light exists. Christ has come. He has rescued His people. He has gone to the cross to pay for our sins. He is the redemption, the promise of God. The same God who sent John to prepare the way has sent Jesus to take away our reproach, to heal our brokenness, and to turn our fears and sorrows into song. So even in the waiting, even in the long night, we can lift up our eyes. But the dawn has come. The sun has appeared. Our Savior, Jesus, been born a baby. And He lives even now in heaven, proclaiming that light has broken in. The darkness is fleeing away. All of our sorrows, all of our needs, even the brokenness of our own hearts, our rebellion against God, all of it is being washed away in the light of Christ. In Christ, every fear and every hope meet in the light of God's redeeming love. Gracious Father, we come before You, asking, crying out to You that You would hear our call, that You would know where we are in the dark night, even as we see the first rays of light on the horizon. There is still much darkness left. Oh God, You know. We thank You that You have given us Your light so that we might see even dimly, so that we might walk in Your light, so that we might live our lives proclaiming what You have done. Christ has come. Christ has come. God, cause us to live in that truth and in the promise that if Christ has come, if He has finished His work here on earth, that He will bring us home. That one day we will have no more night, no more darkness, for we will live always and forever in the light of Your face. Oh God, we thank You for that. We thank You for all these things and ask that You might work in us our life, our hope in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.